call it the expanded edition. This is kind of, you know, not just the Luke 2 part. I'm going to read some of the parts before and just a little bit after. While I'm reading through this, I invite you to count the number of angel appearances you see. I was going to say count the number of angels, but it could be that Gabriel had a lot of jobs to do, and he was going a lot of different places, so I don't know if there were different ones or the same ones, but just count how many angel appearances you see, whether they're in the night or in the day or in the sky or wherever, and for the purposes of this little game, if it says, and they were warned by the Lord in a dream, well, we're just going to call that one an angel. Gotta have some, so we know what some rule for this little game, because I'm gonna make a point from that at the end. So to begin our story, it begins really in Matthew chapter 1. Zacharias is the high priest. He is married to a woman named Elizabeth, and unfortunately, Elizabeth can't have children, and both of them, it says, were fairly old. Old, they were just older than you normally are when you have children. So I'm picking up the story in Matthew 1, verse 8. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole number of people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell on him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." The angel goes on to tell him how John will be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth, and he will turn people to the Lord. And angel says he will also go before him meaning Jesus, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people ready for the Lord. Verse 18, and Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." So the angel came. Zacharias asked for a sign. He actually got a sign. Probably wasn't the one that he wanted, but he got a sign. And the truth of what the angel was telling him. Now I'm going to pick up the story in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, this is the sixth month on Elizabeth's going to have a baby timeline. I mean, it's the sixth month of her pregnancy. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I don't know a man?" Meaning she didn't have a husband. The angel answered to her and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now, picking up the story in Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, we see Joseph. "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example." So in between these two pieces, in between these two times, the baby has come into Mary, and she's become obviously pregnant, and now Joseph is thinking these things about what he ought to do. "Now Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" Now back to Luke chapter 2, starting in the first verse. "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census took place why Quirinius was governing Syria, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her first son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.' So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen which were told to them." Now in our story, we also have wise men, people that studied and watched the stars, and they had noticed signs even in the stars, that there would be a king born in Bethlehem, and they came to see him. And in Matthew 2, chapter 2, verse 7, we pick up the story there after they had come, and they're looking for the baby, so they went to Herod. Seemed like, a natural place to go. And then Herod, it says in verse 7, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them that what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with his mother Mary, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream, let us call that one an angel, that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country, going another way. Now, continuing just a little further in our Christmas story, since this is the expanded edition, continuing in Matthew chapter 2. Now when they, that is the wise men, had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, where they were until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I called my son. And now in verse 19, now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream while he was in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. When they arose, they took the child and his mother, and they came to the land of Israel. But when they heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judah instead of his father Herod, in other words, Herod's son was now the ruler in Judea, the southern part of Israel, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee, and he came and dwelled in a city called Nazareth, that it would be fulfilled, which was spoken, he shall be called a Nazarene. How many angel appearances did anybody count? There was a lot. I see an eight. I see an eight. Ooh, I see another eight. Nine. Any other number? Did Esmira count 10 or did you just wave? Okay. Okay. I listed eight, but I might have missed one, Laura. Okay. That's a good, yes, okay. We'll give you that. That works perfectly for me. Zach, here's the ones that I listed. So we had the start to it. Zacharias, when he's coming to prepare, Zacharias saw an angel who told him that John is coming to prepare a way for Jesus. Mary saw an angel telling her that Jesus is coming. Joseph saw an angel who told him that it is okay to marry Mary. Joseph then sees an angel who tells him to leave Bethlehem. Joseph then sees an angel who tells him to come back. Joseph then, while he's coming back, sees an angel that tells him, Don't go back to Bethlehem. Don't go back to Judea. That is, go somewhere else. I have come to the conclusion that if Joseph didn't sleep, he would never have known what to do. Did you notice all of these are at night in a dream for Joseph? I could just see that. Honey, I don't know what to do. I think I'm going to go to sleep. The phrase, I'm going to sleep on it, I think came from Joseph. The wise men saw an angel that told them not to tell Herod about Jesus. The shepherds saw the angel and then the heavenly hosts telling them that Jesus was there. There was, of course, the star as well. Angels were everywhere in this story at a period of not very long. I think it's fascinating. Angels were everywhere, but where is God in this picture? One of the most significant events in human history is happening. Because the Creator is coming to earth himself. He's not just sending a glowing light, which is representing him. He's not appearing in the hearts and minds of certain prophets and all. It's him literally coming to earth. And the announcers of his coming are the created beings and his creation. Let me illustrate this, kind of give you a mind picture. Picture with me a nativity scene. We've all seen these. I saw the VeggieTales version too. they're all super cute. What's in a nativity scene? Let's start with a barn. Got a barn. What else is in a nativity scene? Cows. Sheep. Hay. Yeah, the ground is hay. Mary, did you see? Mary, Joseph, and the baby. Did I hear a donkey? Yes, they gotta have a donkey because that's Mary's transportation. There's a manger, yeah. We're missing a few other people. They're shepherds. They're wise men. There's a camel because that was the wise men's transportation. Well, sheep.
How about
the angels? Yes, angels are there. The star. Okay. Okay. Now, in all this picture, is there a turtle? The VeggieTales one. In all of this picture, where is God? This is not a trick question. He's in the manger. What's he doing? He's sleeping. I think it's a foreshadowing for when he was going to be in the boat. When the significant things in the world happen, he's sleeping. Yeah, at least the way in the manger tells me he was sleeping. I don't know exactly what he was doing, but he wasn't announcing anything. He wasn't telling anybody that, hey, this time that you were waiting for hundreds, thousands of years, this time that will make the difference 2,000 years later, people will tell this story in their little churches and their big ones. It's right now. It's happening right now. Baby Jesus is not telling the story. Who's telling the story? Who's making the announcement? The angels. There's more. The shepherds. Because the shepherds got the message from the angel, right? And they got the sign. They said, here's what's going on. You're going to know you got the right baby when you see him in the barn, in the manger, wrapped up in swaddling clothes. They go and they see the baby. And now they know that was the right one. Then they go tell everybody, right? We just read that. They go tell everybody. Of course, now they can't prove it because the sign was to them. But I mean, the angels gave them a word, and they gave them a way to demonstrate that the word was true. They went, that is, they prophesied something. Go and you're going to find this. They found it. It was like, wow, the angels were right. Now the shepherds know, but nobody else knows because the angels are gone. The shepherds now take this message, and they go tell everybody else. Who else has a message? The wise men. The wise men tell people about the coming of Jesus. Herod certainly knew. He wasn't a great evangelist. John was going to be an evangelist, but he was a little bit young still, being 3 months old, I guess. There were the prophets that were before Jesus. There, even the stars in the heavens are telling the message. Who's telling the message of Jesus coming is his created beings, angels and people, and his creation. They're all telling the story of Jesus coming. Jesus is just there. This is a common way that God does things. He uses his created people, he uses us to take his message. God showed up to Moses in a burning bush in a dramatic display. That I have a message for you. I have something great is about to happen that's going to change the history of your people. And he gave Moses signs. But when Moses then took that to the people, unfortunately, the burning bush was in the middle of nowhere and no one could see it. I'm sure he would have really liked to put that on a hillside next to the labor camp so that everyone could see it and be inspired. But who God sent was Moses. Moses took the word. He left the broadcasting and marketing work to those who are witnesses of his word, to people like us. The witnesses of the star were the wise men. They told the story. The witnesses of the angels were the shepherds. And they carried a big responsibility to carry the story. The witnesses of the birth of Jesus were Mary and Joseph. And they carried a responsibility, part in this also. And John the Baptist, who was yet to grow up, was going to also carry a big responsibility of preparing people for the time when Jesus would start his ministry. He's still this way. I believe God is still this way. We are witnesses of his presence. We are witnesses of his transforming power. We understand what salvation can mean to us, and we carry the good news of him to a world that doesn't know him, who doesn't understand him. We are witnesses of the light, and we are carriers of the light, and we hold a great responsibility to shine the light of Christ into our world that's filled with darkness. Because if God's people get dim, then how will the good news be carried? I invite you this Christmas as you think about this story. You know, there's so many, we watch around, and we get together as a family, we watch movies together sometimes. And you get done with a movie, you say, that was a good story. Or maybe even that was an inspiring story. And then you say, okay, so do we want to go get Chipotle or Panda Express or pizza or what after? And we move on with our life. But this is not a story that's that kind of a story. It's a story that has a deep meaning for not only people then, but for us. And it's a story that reminds us that God called us to play a part in all of this. He called us to carry the light. The people in the nativity scene all carried the light. The shepherds carried the story. The angels carried the story. Mary and Joseph carried the light, although Mary in a lot more present sort of way. She literally carried the light with her when she went back home. We carry the light in our relationships and how we deal with all the complexities of life. Like we carry the light when we in how we react to the difficulties of life. We carry the light in how we pray for each other and support each other in our good times and our bad times. We carry the light by how we treat others. But we also carry the light by understanding in our minds and in our spirits who God is, so that we can actually explain it to people that don't know. In all these ways, we carry the light. And that is the other part, I guess, of what Christmas is all about. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful, wonderful miracle. Thank you for the time when you, the light of the world, came. You were born. You worked out salvation for every one of us. Thank you for the people in this room that you have brought to you, that you have invited to a relationship, and you have transformed their lives. I pray that you would help us, your people, to be people who can carry the light. I pray that you would make yourself close and real to them during this holiday season. And I pray that you would send us an increased amount of your Spirit, that we would be able to share it with our world, with the people that are in our lives. That there's lunches arrived, and if there are anyone that would like to be prayed for anything.